And then God's answers. Three answers, yeah, there are. Okay? And then, in a few places where you have talks, it's just, I mean, it's exactly the tinies of people have today. Exactly. Exactly. So, that's, it would be nice to see those parts of Eev, where he himself talks. So, whether to do the beginning of Eev, then do where he himself talks. You know? So, you skip out of luck with the other friends, you know, and that's, you know, you met the other friends. And then Elihu, and then God's answers in the end. We'll go through it next week if you want. Okay? Yep. The whole world is full of God's chachma.
Right.
Tamar, did you say Shema Tamar, Rashi? He's Zion.
Prophets.
Ani beria v'chavera beria. Okay, ani beria means I who am a Tamar chacham is a beria. Ani yoisa b'tara beria ani v'chein chaveri am oretz beria hu. Funny Gemara, first, what do you mean ani beria v'hu beria? Funny expression, you know?
Anyways,
Beria means Bria.
Oh, I thought it meant the healthy
person. Yesh lo leiv kamayni lahavcham bein terv l'ra. Okay. Rashi says like this. Rashi says, "Ani ha'isk b'tera beria ani v'chein chaveri amoritz beria ani." Not like Tesis. What beria means, you know, Rashi don't know. Tesis says that ani beria yesh lo leiv kamayni lahavcham bein terv l'ra. And I see. In other words, I have the ability to discern between good and evil. And he has the ability to discern between good and evil. All right. What is the rest of the memra? Still don't understand yet. Mm-hmm. Anyways, ani malachti ba'ir. Right. My malach is in the city. Kloimai neicha malachti mimlachtai. My malach is easier, more nicer, more fitting than his. Right. This is what he is. I work in the city. In the city, that means he learns Torah, right? V'hu malachtei basada, he works. Ani mashkin l'malachti, v'hu mashkin l'malachtei. What?
Mashkin.
Hu eino misgader b'malachti. Kachani eini misgader b'malachtei. So, just like I am not gadel litfais umnosi. I grab my Misgada Litfais in the Nisai. I need Misgada, Machum Michel Misgadashan. Needs to express itself there. It's almost like Misgadel, yeah. Misgadel Litfais in the Nisai. It means he doesn't make himself big and say that I could do what you're doing. That's what it means. Litfais in the Nisai. He doesn't make himself big and say I could do that too. So I also know the guy in the field doesn't do that. Just like he doesn't do that to me. Shem shemayim is gadol b'malachti, kach ani einim is gadol b'malachto. In other words, he's saying, just like he doesn't think he could do what I could do, I don't think I could do what he could do. In other words, I don't put him down. That's what it means. I don't put him down. Even though he works. Right? And Rashi says, he's talking about an amoretz. Ani oisik b'tara beryo, ani v'chein chaveri am ha'oretz beryo. They're talking about an Amoritz. Of course, it must be the level of Amoritz over here is not the different types of Amoritz in the Chazal. Different levels. This must be an Amoritz who is not Isaac. The Gemara has a single last level. He never was Bein HaChachamim. He wasn't able to sit, get together, and discuss, have the discussions, the Gemara says. That's also an Amoritz. That's the lowest level of Amoritz, or the highest level, whichever way you want to go. But it means that he never had the opportunity to get together and be with a chabura that analyzed thought, that sit down and think and analyze. Never had a chance to be part of a chabura. That's the amaras must mean over here. It can't be the other amaras. The other amaras ain't a megadol b'nei l'tamar Torah or something like that. That's not what I was talking about. So it means he's in a situation where he couldn't possibly join the chabura.
Maybe it's relative.
As v'shem ataymar, maybe you'll say like this. Interesting Gemara. Time, maybe you'll say, "Ani mar bevahu mamit." Rashi says, "Shema time adin imai." Really, he's right. Sheinim is gadab imlachti. That he doesn't. That he's not. What do you call it? Arrogant about the my malacha to try to say that he could do what I could do. Why? Shilu hayatayfasim noisai lahir lalev pasuach lahar bris b'terukamaisim. Because if he would really try to do what I do, he would never be successful, because he doesn't have the intelligence, he doesn't have the native intellect, intelligence, to be able to do what I'm doing. Right? He would do less, and he wouldn't have schar. Carefully. Right? What does it mean, vayam mamet ve'en le'schar?
As if he would sit down to learn, he wouldn't be able to.
Shaninu, we learned, sheyesh lo schar l'mamet k'mo l'marba. That there's just as much schar for a person who learns less as for a person who learns more. U'bilvad sheyechav en liba l'shamayim. Okay.
What's that mean? He's wrong. He really shouldn't want to
know my job. No. What it means is like this. It's an interesting thing Rashi says. Here Rashi says, listen carefully. So he says, she'ilu ha'yatayfasim no'isai, maybe you'll say ha'dini mo'i. That really, he's right why he doesn't want to try to be arrogant about taking over my job. Why? Because he can't. She'ilu ha'yatayfasim no'isai la'hoyal alayf pasuch la'harbas b'tarik ha'maisi. Now what's the answer to that question? Maybe you'll say that. What's the answer to that question? Not the answer doesn't seem to be, no. That's not true. He'd be able to learn as good as me. That's out of reality. Chazal, they knew that the guy, that the man in the field can't learn as good as the Talmud Chacham. But he says, as I said, Ilu Shema Shilo Yitevsim No Seila Hayolo Leif Pasuch Laharbas Petar Kamosi, right? V'hayamamit, and what would happen? And then he would, because he doesn't have the ability, so he wouldn't learn as much. Vein Lo Schar, and he wouldn't have any Schar. He wouldn't have as much Schar. He wouldn't have any Schar, right? So Shaninu Sheyesh Lo Schar LaMamit K'mo LaMarba. Right?
Seems to go against the idea that we would think, though.
It says that Lefi Maisa V'Rev Chachmasa Yuzecha. That's what the Rambam says. Rambam says what? It says that a person is a bigger Chacham. If two people have equal Maisa and one is a bigger Chacham, so the one who has a bigger Chacham has a bigger Chelek in Gan Eden, right? In the eternal life has a bigger Chelek, has a bigger Chacham. Right? That's what the Rambam says. And here, the Gemara seems to say, or at least the way Rashi learns the Gemara, I don't know how to Rambam learn the Gemara, but the way Rashi learns the Gemara, it would seem that it's not true. That it's not true. Let's read the Rashi once more. According to the plain pshat in Rashi, that the great Chacham, person who understands all the metaphysical difficulties, he understands the Kodesh Baruch Hu to the highest degree, I mean, being the same chelik no labor as a person who is comparatively a fool, right? It's against the Rambam. Rambam says that lefi ma'isav a rev chachmasa yizeich. Point to his rav chachmasa. Point to his greater, according to the amount of chachma that he has, right? Okay. Yeah. Or the question of fairness. I mean, that's no question. Okay. All right. Okay. See, Rashi doesn't say that he has the same amount of schar out there. Rashi doesn't even talk about that. Rashi says, what does Rashi say? Take a look at what Rashi says. Rashi says, no, one second. Before Shanino, hold it. Before Shanino. Shema, slowly. Toma. Shema Toma. Adini Moshe, Enim is Gadabim Lachtish. Elo Yetefesim Nasi, Loha Yolo Lef Pasuch Labras Petarkamosi, Voyamamit, the Enlo Sochar, right? And he would, and since he would diminish, he wouldn't have had any scar. Rashi, look at Rashi. Rashi says, well, how do you learn Pshat in Rashi? V'kamosi v'hoya mamet. V'hoya mamet. What does v'hoya mamet mean? V'hoya mamet. He would have been a mamet. V'ain lo socha. You know what Rashi, is what Rashi saying? Rashi not saying he's mamet now. You see? Rashi not saying the man in the field is mamet now and therefore I might think he doesn't have schar kamashma and he has as much schar as me. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, if he would have attempted to learn, he would have been a mamet and then he wouldn't have any schar.
Any
schar at all? That's an interesting question to be saying. Why does Rashi say vein lo sachar? He has no sachar klal. Rashi should have said, and he wouldn't have had as much schar as I have, right? And then he says later, shanina sheyesh lo schar lamamet kimo lamarba. I mean, it's a funny Rashi. Rashi seems to be talking, first he seems to be talking in absolute terms, you know what I mean? That he wouldn't have had any schar at all. And now I know that he has the same exact amount as me. And why should I, first of all, why should I say he had no schar? His mom
said
that's
also
that's a wild
thing. How can you say the guy doesn't have any schar? I mean, if a guy would lie,
to tell me that a person in the field has as much schar as a person who learns Torah, right? So Rashi should have said, just plain and pashut. I Hashem Atama, maybe you'll say, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Hashem Atama Ani Mar Bevahu Mamet. Rashi didn't have to go through all this whole devious path over here. She said, Hashem Atama Ani Mar Be V'Yesh Li Schar Har Bevahu Mamet V'Ein Lo Schar V'Ein Lo Schar Kamoni. No, Shanino Echad Mar Be Echad Mamet V'Vashi Chavali V'Shemayim. Rashi, what does Rashi say? She'ilu Hayatayfes Umnoisa. What is, first of all, the whole Rashi is difficult. Rashi wants, if Rashi wants to tell me that the man is working in the field has as much schar as me, then I say straight out. He's working in the field, I think, that's what the Gemara says you're saying. You might think that he has less schar than I do. Kamash Malone, he doesn't. But Rashi doesn't say that. He says, you might think that if he would have taken over my position, then he wouldn't have any schar. What does Rashi jump in with that for? Yeah, what does it fit into the Gemara? The Gemara was very smooth. Rashi always is a passionate. Rashi always likes to fit the Gemara plain. It fits him plain. He doesn't try to make it cumbersome. So why does Rashi over here have to switch around, make a whole thing? It's not in the Gemara even. If he would grab my job, then I would say he doesn't have any slot. For Mashmalon, he would have as much slot. What's the general Rashi? What's the interesting verse? What? Sheyesh lo lamamit kimo lamarba. I mentioned the possibility that really what the Rashi is saying is, on the contrary, that it's a rank out to the guy that's in the field. In other words, the person, the Rashi is saying like this, the guy that's working in the field all day, maybe you'll say that he really should stay there and he shouldn't come to the base of Medrash because he can't learn as good as I can. He says, no, Echad Amava v'Echad Amamet. Echad Amava v'Echad Amamet. So really he should get into the base of Medrash. And he's a fool for staying out there in the field.
What's
the case, so what is the whole Gemara about? Yeah. Because the Gemara seems to, then you're going to say the whole Gemara is just an ego rank at. And who says the Margalev Pume, the Rabbanon,
the Avna.
I mean, they get up every day and they say, let's take a look at these guys in the field, these damn fools out there, staying there. The other guy won't know about it. But what do I have to say that for? I mean, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? And what's the Margalev? What's the Margalev? What's the margala?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the big margala over here? Margala means diamond, a gem. What's the gem over here? It's not really a gem. All right, I rank the guy out. The guy's working all day. He's a damn fool. He should come into base medicine and learn. And I'm glad I'm not a fool like him. You know? It's great. I feel good. Now let's open the Gemara. Let's learn. Every day we'll rank him out. What's the idea? Out in the field than he is here. That you can't deny. Rashi definitely seems to say that. Because Rashi says, maybe you'll say that he would gain nothing by coming here. Kamash Malone, if he'd come here, no matter how little he learned, he'd still be gaining something. How could the world be Miskayim if you don't have people working? Right, it's impossible. Okay. So, but I want you to understand that question really is a quantitative question. Because most people don't really work just in order to make ends meet so they can spend their time learning. Most people are involved in the endless fantasies of ownership fantasies. You know what I mean? To accumulate and to gain in terms of power and property. So most people are involved in that. Most people aren't really out there because of necessity. Okay? Chazal lived, took care of the necessities in a very, very low level. Almost unbelievable some of the way some of them lived. Chanita ben Daisa, he ate a kav charuvim from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. That's it. I mean, that's a different level already. Necessity. What is necessity? There's a large area there, you know, as to what exactly necessity is. What?
Okay. Brother.
So what do you say? You would think that doesn't have any schar. Kamash Malone, that there is schar to the mamet, just like there is schar to the marbet.
You see?
But it still is a little funny, the lashon. It's still a little funny fitting in. I mean, I agree you can learn up shut that way. But what it seems to me, it's like a funny type of equation Rashi has there. This is equal to that, but yet they're not equal. It's like an equality. You might think, like Plato's Republic. You know, each guy does what's against Plato, because he says that a person that's good for shoemaking, we make him into a shoemaker, and that's his job for the society, shoemaker, because he doesn't really have the abilities to learn and to think, can't be the philosopher, so therefore his job is shoemaking, and he has to forfeit his intelligence, so he has to forfeit his intellectual self, because it's not as great, see. So you might think that that's just, if that's the system of justice.
It sounds like
so then, what?
It sounds like typecasting, like maybe the guy
is, that's what you might think, that that's a system. You know, you have a system to be honest, that's a system, right? So therefore, it would be unjust for him to place himself in the base matters. Who does he think he is to come to the base matters and learn? It's not just. Justice demands that you don't have so much intelligence, you go out into the field, right? That's not for you. There's a certain level necessary in order to be in the base medrash. If you're not at that level, forget it. You see? So, in other words, like this. Not only in terms of society, two ways. First of all, in terms of society, you might say that society, that there's a social system over here, and therefore he belongs in the field, and also in terms of himself personally as well. You might say like this, that in order to have schar, for Talmud Torah requires a certain level of intellect. Not everybody can be in the base medrash. You can't understand abstract theories in Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam and what goes on over there, the whole Shakla V'tai, you can't understand these things, then you don't belong in the base medrash. So what are you coming here? Sitting on from Rashi? Forget it. That's not for you. Right? Kamash Malam, no, it's not so. That every individual, in terms of as much knowledge as he could gain, that, for him, he has that's his Scha. Right? That's what Yadis holds. That's what Yadis holds. Yadis holds that, first of all, Yadis is against a social system to say that you belong in the field because you're not as intelligent. And secondly, Yadis maintains that it doesn't matter what level of knowledge you're on, but any level of knowledge is worthy. So he's worthy. Okay, good. Now the question is, so what's the essence of the memory? What's the memory saying? What's the whole margalo? What's the whole thing with it? What is it we're getting at? Yeah, we said this once before. We mentioned this once before. The pshat is that Yehadis will maintain like this. See? And the question really is, why don't we hold like Plato's Republic? It's a good kasha. Right? That seems to be the rational way to do it. You have to have a society of chachamim, so therefore the chachamim are the leaders. Not everybody can be a chacham. You can't come to the base medrash. Stop you from coming to the base medrash. Well, it's not fair. Never mind. You have to have a system. It's not fair. I mean, you can't have. You have to have a system.
Say
the world. We have to exist. Society has to exist. You have to have it. You have to have some people. And let's say you had a society where nobody wanted to be a policeman. So you have to force somebody. I mean, it's impossible. You can't exist. You can't have people. You have to do something. Somebody's gonna have to do it, right? To say it's not fair. Yeah, it might not be fair, but we have to exist. It certainly isn't fair for everybody to die. So what are you gonna do? You have to have some way of doing it, right? Okay. Okay. See, Chazal held one thing. What is the real? What is the Chazal saying? He says, "Ani beria v'chaverai beria." That's the key. What does it mean? "Ani beria v'chaverai beria." What does it mean? Between the both of us. The common denominator between the both of us.
So where was the
what? The denominator is: see, a person should not look at this world in terms of. Comparisons. A person can't look at this world comparatively. That's what the Gemara is saying. Gemara is saying that every person should look at the world as an individual. Ani Beryo, I'm an individual creature, and he's an individual creature. And how are things determined? Things are determined completely by God's will. That's it. We both have one common denominator, that we abide by God's will. You see? That's the common denominator. In other words, a person should not be concerned, really, with how he stands in terms of relative justice. See, relative justice is not important. The same question that we mentioned many times. We said that the by the way, before we go into this, is one thing we were skipping over one step. What was a shat? Ani yeshlo ischar, and you said it right. Schar means the schar over here does not mean schar na lamabar. That's what he did. Doesn't mean schar nolam habah. Schar means the reward for doing the right thing, for living the correct life. That's what schar means over here. Right. See, the schar over here that the Gemara is referring to is not the schar of olam habah. That's a different schar altogether. The Gemara is referring to the schar of living correctly. That's what the Gemara is saying. The schar of living properly.
That you lead a better life.
That you're doing the correct thing, that the person is living properly. So the Gemara says that let's say a person does not have the ability to learn, to go into the intricacies of a tesis. Doesn't have the ability. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have, that he's doing the wrong thing by sitting in the base medrash and learning. That doesn't mean that. You see? Because as much as he gets out of learning, as much knowledge as he gains, that's how much knowledge he's... That's his area of knowledge. It's not a comparative thing. Knowledge is not a comparative thing. Because if you want to be comparative, our knowledge is nothing compared to the Rambam's knowledge. And the Rambam's knowledge is nothing compared to Moshe Rabbeinu's knowledge. Moshe Rabbeinu is nothing compared to God, so it's all nothing. See? Relative, so nobody should learn. So the relative knowledge... See, relative knowledge assumes that there is a certain point, which is objective knowledge. Beneath that, it's worthless. See, that's not true. The important thing is that knowledge benefits man. It benefits man. The important thing is that a person should constantly be learning. The act of learning benefits man, using his mind, because that's what he was created for, insofar as he can. So each person is benefited by fulfilling their personal need on their level. That has nothing to do with comparisons. The same thing, basically, is based on what we said once a long time ago, that a person could say it's not fair. Everybody wants to be equal today, but people aren't equal. One person is more intelligent, another person is less intelligent. One person is physically superior, another person is physically inferior. You're right. That's the way it is. It's very nice to be equal, but apparently God, the Creator, did not seem fit to make things equal. He didn't make things equal. Things are not equal. I listened to a program the other day. Somebody was arguing for a woman's lip. That women are equal to men. Somebody asked them. They said, "Well, what about in athletics? In running a mile, women certainly aren't equal. They can't run as fast." So he says, "Yeah, but it's just as exciting to see a woman finish a race in 4 minutes and 30 seconds as a man in 3:50." Yeah, that would be exciting. Talking about exciting. Switch the topic suddenly. It's just exciting. We're talking about who is there such a thing as male superiority? And if you deny it, you just deny reality. The fact is that a man is more fit, aerobically fit. That's the way the world is. I mean, you can argue from there till tomorrow, but that's it. Now, the idea of equality is a certain emotional desire to make things equal. That might be very nice, but I think the real emotion that a person should have is the emotion to abide by reality, not to distort reality. That's the most important emotion. So the attempt to distort reality it might appeal to our emotions, but we have to realize that we're living in a world here that was created by God, by a creator who saw fit to do things his way. I mean, we have to understand the chachma of that way, but to argue with it is absurd. It's an absurdity. Okay? Now, well, what happens? What's the result? The result is that a person has no right to ask, why am I created with this? Why am I not as intelligent as somebody else?
That's the concept of
Sakhmar. That's the concept of Sakhmar. Each person should look at himself like a barrier. Let's say you were the only one in the world. So you wouldn't be concerned about anybody else being bigger than you, right? No, barrier means a creature. You see? So now, because somebody else has more intelligence, this disturbs you. Just a second. Why? You are a creature, right? Now, God has the right to create a superior creature to you. You can't say, you mean God has no right to create another creature that's superior to you. He can't do it. I mean, it's his will. Why can't he do it? Oh, you don't like it because when he does it, you make a comparison. So your act of comparing is wrong. That's your mistake. You shouldn't compare. What you should do is live within the realm of your own reality. That's the way a person should live. I mean, what does it have to do with anybody else? I mean, God created an ox. An ox doesn't have any... An ox has never yet worked out any mathematical propositions. Right? So we'll say that it's not fair. This isn't fair. It isn't fair. I mean, God could create an ox, and God can create a man. He can't create anything. He can't create one being superior to another one. And why not? That not only is this so, you see, I was also saying an interesting thing. Not only is this so with regard to the innate abilities that God gave a person. Not only is this so with regard to the innate abilities that God gave a person, that a person must have that philosophy. Not only must a person have that philosophy with regard to the innate abilities. That's the Margalo. The Margalo, the gem, is like this. Hazal say, not only is that so with regard to innate abilities, that a person must look at his own world of reality and visualize life just as if he was the only creature that there is, because as far as he's concerned, that's all that matters, and not make any comparisons. So too is this true in regard to situations as well. That's what Hazal said. You have a person who has a certain situation, right? So you'll say that, look, my situation is, it's not fair. It's not fair, right? I mean, I should have this situation. Why don't I have this situation? Correct? That's he's not misgather in my malacha. Why shouldn't he be misgather in my malacha? Because a person must live with one philosophy: the acceptance of the will of his creator. That's the philosophy. God's will was to create a certain individual that has a certain given amount of ability, and every creature should accept that. Say, look, that's the way I am, and that's the way God saw fit to create me. This is what I am. I have to accept this. Not only must I accept it insofar as my innate abilities, but I have to accept it also insofar as my situation is concerned. That I have no right to say, if my situation is such that I have to work in the field and I can't learn Torah at this point, so then I have to accept it. Now maybe you'll say, the Gemara says, now maybe you'll say that no, of course he should accept it. Why should he accept it? Because there's a reason why I should accept it. Not because of acceptance of the will, but because that's the way it is. It's right it should be that way, because he couldn't do any better if he tried. That's not true, the Gemara says. Because even though he doesn't have the intellectual capabilities to be a Rabbeinu Tam, but still, it is beneficial for him to sit and learn Torah in the Beis HaMedrash. Whatever it is, Echad Amav v'Echad Amamet. Learning can't be measured by any specific, there's no specific level. You say this level is learning, that level is not learning. As long as he has an idea, as long as he has a clear idea, that's learning. No matter what the idea is, it'll be a simple idea. So therefore, he must accept his situation, right? Why? Because he must accept the situation, because this is a situation that was given to him by God. That's his situation. That's the reason why he has to accept it. Not because that's the best way that it should be. His best way is not that he has no right to consider, say, the best way is, I'm accepting because this is the best way. You see, he has to accept the fact that to him it's not the best way to be, not as intelligent. Who in the world, somebody would come over to you and say, I can give you more intelligence. Who would not take it? Anybody would take it, right? But apparently God didn't see fit to do it. So a person has to say that this is God's will, and that's why this is the way. He's the creator, and he organized the world, and he decided to make such a creature. I am that creature, and I have to accept it. I have to accept it not just in regard to my innate abilities, but I have to accept it even insofar as my situation is concerned. My situation is besada. That's what I have to accept. That's his will. What? And therefore, a person who's in the Beis HaMedrash should not be misgoa and say that it's just that I am in the Beis HaMedrash. This is justice, because I am the big chacham. No. You have to realize, this was his will, is that you should be here. Everything that happens is because of his will. In other words, his will is that you should be in the Beis HaMedrash. Don't be misguided and say, I'm bigger than him, and he could have been, he could have been here, but he's not as great as me. This is God's will. You have to recognize, God's will is that you should be here as God. You have to accept, that's why Beria is beautiful. Ani Beria v'chaveri Beria. What does Beria mean? I'm a creature, and I have to understand, the creature must understand everything in terms of the creator who made him. A creature means that which results from a creator. Right? So I have to accept the will of my creator, and he has to accept the will of his creator. That's the philosophy of life. That's the common denominator of Ani Beria v'chaveri Beria. That's what Chazal is saying. That's the margal over here. That's the way Rashi learned. Rashi. I'm talking about somebody who has a choice. Rashi's not talking about somebody who could learn Torah when that's many Gemaras about that. Person, ish yesh b'yodeh vein ha'is, a person has the opportunity to learn Torah and doesn't do it, machil na seh gachal ha'ish, the Gemara says. So a person can't turn down Torah, that's a fool. But Rashi's talking about an individual who has no choice, the Gemara is saying. This is the way he was raised, this is the way he is, he has no choice now at this point. Whether he had a choice, whatever it is. But the point is, right now, this is the way things are, right? So since this is the way things are, he has to accept the will of God, and I have to realize that the fact that I am in the Beis HaMedrash is because of his will. Not to my credit, but it's an acceptance of his will. Shouldn't be an egoistic, on the contrary. Chazal is saying a person shouldn't be egoistic, and shouldn't say, I'm the one that's great. It's not great. This was his will. His will was he created that type of creature, and he created this type of creature. That type of creature he created with certain abilities, and that type of creature, and he also gave him a certain situation. He gave me my abilities and my situation. I have only one thing to do. To live according to the way my Creator designed me to live. That's the only thing. That's the only philosophy of life. That's what Chazal is saying. The whole idea of comparative justice is out. That's what Chazal is saying. What? Created the environment. See, Rashi's very ambiguous there. He doesn't mean he has the same exact schar in Olam Haba. He's not talking about the schar in Olam Haba. He's talking about the schar of living properly. That's the schar Rashi's discussing over here. The schar of living according to the way a person should live. That's what Rashi's saying. It's not discussing, and therefore, who's going to have the greatest schar in Olam Haba? That's a different question. That's a separate question. That depends on the person. That's different. It goes in different areas. Depends on his abilities. Depends on his chachma. Rashi's not denying that. But that again That again follows the same philosophy. A person has a greater place in the world because of his chachma, and he had a greater intellect. That's God's will. God's will is that he should have it. But you can't say that's not fair. What do you mean it's not fair? Because God created somebody superior to you, it's not fair. The comparison is an unjust one. It's an illegitimate question. It's an illegitimate comparison. It's a human comparison. It's a human frailty, a human weakness. But really, a person has no right to make such comparisons. Such a comparison is a denial of God's right as a creator. That's what it amounts to. Our own and not look at others and make a comparison. That's all the Gemara says. The reality is, one person has a frail constitution, a frail body, right? Another person is powerfully built, right? Now the question is that does the person who is frail should he be jealous, be envious of the other person, or should he say this is the way I was created and accept it? That's what Chazal say, that a person should live within reality. Isn't reality to accept the way things really are? Isn't that what reality is? It's a hard thing.
What's
your
goal?
Shouldn't that be the philosophy? Not only should that be the philosophy of life, but that philosophy is directly tied in with the acceptance of God. That's why I want to mention. That's why Lo Sachmot is part of the Aseres HaDibros. Why is Lo Sachmot part of the Aseres HaDibros? Because it's a Yisod B'das, it's acceptance of God's will. He's a creator and he can create the way he wants. And I must accept the way he created. That's the basis. It doesn't mean that I have to sit back and do nothing. That's not the philosophy of Yadis. Yadis doesn't say sit back and do nothing. Yadis says that a person should be active insofar as developing his capabilities. But there's a difference between being active insofar as... See, the problem with our society is, with our society confuses two things. It confuses the idea of being active insofar as your abilities are concerned, and it confuses the idea of being better than the other guy. Because in our society, ambition is a great thing. And what is ambition? Ambition means that I'm going to be the top. I'm going to be the greatest. See? And if I think I'm going to go to the top, that's the way I'm going to be productive, and then I'm living a terrific life. Yeah, this says that's a fool. What do you mean you're going to go to the top? It's a very nice philosophy, but really you're fooling people. Because everybody can't go to the top. The fact remains that a few people rise to the top, they have the abilities, and some people don't. And by espousing this philosophy, while it sounds very nice, you see, it sounds very nice at first. You know, the Gemara says, the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, the Gemara says, is that a rasha is tilaso masok v'sofo mar. The beginning is very sweet, and the end is very bitter. But a tzaddik, tchilas omar, v'sof omasak. The beginning of a tzaddik is bitter, but the end is very sweet. The beginning of, when each one goes on his path, of his pursuits, the pursuits of the tzaddik and the pursuits of the rasha, the Gemara says, the pursuit of the tzaddik in the beginning is very bitter, and the pursuit of the rasha in the beginning is very sweet. But in the end, it turns out just the opposite. The rasha's pursuits are bitter, and the tzaddik's pursuits are sweet. Why? Why is it so? Very simple reason why. Because the Russia, you see, when you tell everybody that, you tell a whole group of people across the country, you espouse a philosophy that everybody can go to the top, it's very sweet. Everybody feels very terrific. Great, you see? Yeah. But in the end, what you don't see is the bitterness and the unhappiness of those who never make it. See, that's a sign it doesn't show you. They'll show you a picture, a movie of somebody who made it. Ah, everybody imagines that they're going to make it too. But when they come down to reality, the fact is that you're fooling most of the people because most of the people can't do it. So you're giving them something which is appealing to their fantasies, but which in reality is going to cause them tremendous frustration. You see? And our society recognizes that the only other alternative is to make people passive, to make people bitter. So you can't make it. You can make it. You can be a great executive and you can't be a great executive. That would be wrong to say that to anybody. Because saying that would make him stop acting. He would stop acting and he'd sit down passively and waste his life. Now, Yehadis has a better solution than that. Yehadis solution is like this. Activity is, there is no contradiction between activity and between being at the top. The only way a person should view himself is in terms of his own abilities. That's what a person should do. That's the true philosophy.
That's for himself.
That's right.
Not for himself.
There's no top and bottom. There's no such thing as, it's not a comparative thing. See, our society tries to fool people. They get people to be active because they fool each one into thinking that he could be the greatest. And therefore, he should live an active life. And then the person says, well, I don't think I can make it. Oh, don't say that. Don't be down. Come on, you can do it. And they'll show you a case where somebody was down and he made it. What does that prove that he got to me? Yeah, he made it. The guy was a genius and he happened to be down at the time. So he pulled himself up by his bootstraps and he made it. But he had the ability to do it. But the other guy will try to do that and he'll get killed.
Yeah, but it's also
possible. I mean, it's ridiculous.
This guy...
Yeah, because we're living in a philosophically absurd society. That's why. Philosophically absurd. On the contrary, it leads to tremendous unhappiness. And that's why this philosophy, which is espoused in this country, which is considered so great, the truth of the matter is, and they start wondering why people are so unhappy. Why is everybody so unhappy? Give them another movie. Show them how you made it. Okay. Terrific. I can do it now. See? That's why they have to go. That's why people have to spend their time in this type of entertainment. Because they're so unhappy in their everyday life that the only place that they can have some enjoyment is when they go into fantasies. This, according to Yadis, is the wrong. This is the wrong approach. The mistake is because nobody ever accepted reality. That's the mistake. The mistake is there's no acceptance of reality. There should be acceptance of reality. And one person should be able to understand that he cannot be a great executive. And another person, this is his job is, according to his abilities, what he should do is to be a street cleaner. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with saying derogatorily. No. On the contrary. But the reason is, you see, in a society which...
We're so comparative. The
only good is to be on top. If that's the only good in the world, yeah. Then you're stuck. Then you have no way out. Because what are you going to say?
Exactly right.
And then you are hopelessly stuck in terms of your social system. Because that's the only good, right? Oh, so the street cleaner's no good? Forget it. Bury him. That's it. He's no good. See? Thing is, Yadis has a different idea. And that's what this Chazal is saying. So very beautifully. Chazal say, the godless of a person is not to be on top. The godless of a person is Ani Beria. That's the godless. Ani Beria. That's it. I am a creature, and the good is not to be measured in any comparative way. But the good is to live in accordance to the way that God, that my Creator structured me. That's the way. That's the good. Therefore, everybody's active. Everybody's active. Everybody's happy. See? That's the way it is. But there's only one thing. There's only one difficulty. It's philosophy mar. A little bit in the beginning is bitter. To be able to accept that realization that you are a creature, a finite creature, a person that has certain limitations. This is the way he is. And he has to live within the realm of his limitations. And he has to be active in his limitations. That's it. I'm telling you a bit of philosophy that has not to do directly with decision making. It does have to decision making, but in a different way.
Yeah, I understand.
What Chazal is saying here is one thing. That a person, you know, the Rambam quotes the Gemara. The Rambam in Pirkei Avos, he quotes a Chazal. He says the Chazal used to say, big gedolei Chazal, that they wouldn't take any money for Torah. The Rambam is very much against taking any money for Torah. It's cashing all these shoes today. Rambam all the way. Rambam was against it. But the Rambam says that Gedolei HaChachamim, they said, they used to be happy, they used to work, some Chachamim used to work physically, used to chop wood. So one of these great Tanoim, he used to move wood from one place to another for a living, in order to make a few dollars to exist. He used to say, Gedolei Malacha Shemechamem Es Baileha. That's what he used to say. He say work is great, because it makes the one who does it warm. Because on a cold day, you go out and you start... And you want to start a fire, but you want to put on your stove in order to get you some heat, you'll find out that before you get the stove on, you'll be warm already from the work. You don't need the stove anymore. So what did the Ram want to show? The Ram wanted to show the philosophy of Chazal. Chazal were happy, mistapet. The Midas HaStapkus. Midas HaStapkus is a fantastic thing. It means that a person, this great scholar, great genius, was happy that God gave him this little thing to do to make a living. Why? Rather than saying how bad it is and how terrible it is, on the contrary, he found good things in it. Makes your body warm. It's a good thing, you see? So Chazal lived in a way that they accepted every bit, they were happy to abide by the reality that God created for them. This is the way God made my situation. Look at this. It's a wonderful thing that he gave me. The body gets warm, it's healthy, it's good, you see? Rather than the person to complain. Because complaining is a sign of non-acceptance of his will. That's what it means. That's right. It means you don't accept his will. That's why I mentioned on Yom Kippur also. A person has to be It has to be Sameach B'Yisun. The Gemara says, was it Aluvim, Oysim, Shemcha, Oysim Me'avo Smechim B'Yisurim. Oysim Me'avo Smechim B'Yisurim. Aleir HaKos Oymer. V'Oyavav. Ketseis Oyavav means Oyav HaShem. Ketseis HaShem Ish Bigur Rasa. What does it mean? It means that a person should be happy to abide by the will of his Creator, even though it's painful. That's the philosophy. That's the philosophy. That's what, as a matter of fact, we said that's a cat in the Rambam. Why Yom Kippur is a machaper? Because Yom Kippur is the only mitzvah in the Torah where you have Yisurin. The only place in the Torah where it says, Ninisem is not Shesed, the only mitzvah. Yom Kippur is Kabbalah so Yisurin. The philosophy of Yom Kippur is, the whole, it's part of it. It's part of the Kiddush Sayyim, Rashi learned. I am a creature. No, not derogatory. On the contrary, Beria is a very high term. It means I am someone who is a direct result of the Creator of the universe. Very good. That's what it means. It means a creature means someone who is a direct result of God. You don't have to be better than that. Okay? I'm Moritz Beriahu. He's also a Beria. Also, we're both creatures. Both, there's the equality. There's the equality. The equality is that we both are created by God. Ani malachti ba'ir, kolemar. Anoichem malachti memlachto. My malach is better than his. Superior, better, more, much more benefits. Misgader. Alright, Rashi, yeah. Hishema teimar. Adin imo. This Rashi gives what misgader means. Alright. Now, the thing is that he, just like he doesn't, he's not haughty to say that I should really be over there. Why isn't he ordered to say that I should be over there? Because he accepts the will of God, right? He accepts his will. We're talking about a person who's a person who's besoros, but he has a true philosophy. He accepts his oneness. This is the way God designed that he should do. He accepts it. Now, I also accept mine. When you say, the moment you say I accept mine, when I'm in a more fortunate situation, it means it's not to my credit. That's what it means. I accept this. What does it mean I accept it? It means I realize that it was simply his will that I should be here. Not because I'm great. The Shema Tema, maybe you'll say Hadinimo. No! He's really right in accepting his. Why? She'enim is gadab and lachti she'ilo yatayf sim noisei lo hoyolo leiv pasuch laharbos betara kamosi voyamamit vein lo sachar. He wouldn't have any schar. Why? Because he would be doing something, he would be violating, doing an injustice, because he doesn't belong here, or it would be worthless for him to be here. You see? So therefore, it's good that he's out there, but I who am superior should be here, and it's not an acceptance of God's will, but this is the way it's supposed to be, not because I accept his will, but because this is the way it is, this is just, this is justice, this is the way it should be. So therefore, I have a right to feel that, pat myself on the back and say, he's out there and I belong here. No, shanina sheish lo schar l'mame kamal marba. That's not true. He really would get schar, that would be just for him to be here, just as it is for me to be here, it's the same justice that dictates that he should be here. But why is he happy out there? Because he accepts the situation that God gave him. Correct? That's right. So I have to realize that I too, who are in a more fortunate situation, should not go around saying that I'm superior, but the fact that I have the situation is God's will and I abide by his will. That's what the Gemara is saying. Now, in terms of practicality, what does the Gemara mean? It's a very deep philosophical message of the Gemara. What does the Gemara mean in terms of practicality? Of course, if a person has a choice between going out in the field and between learning Torah, he should learn Torah. The Gemara says he should. Why? Because the Gemara says, Yesh lo schar l'mamit kemo l'marbe. Right? So therefore, he certainly should do it. But let's say in life, a person cannot always learn as much Torah as he wants to, because certain situations arise which take him away, which are not within his control. Anything within his control, Chazal say hundreds of thousands of times how important it is for a person to learn Torah and how much a person should strive and do whatever he can. But there's an area of life that a person has to remember that's outside the realm of his control. What do you do with that area outside the realm of his control? A person gets sick and he can't learn Torah like he used to. A person has a tragedy in his family. Something happens and he can't function. Sometimes a person has tragedy. Sometimes a child is sick, child dies, something terrible thing. Can't function. So what should he do then? Complain? No. What he should do is, he has to accept it. This is God's will. That's the way it is, you see? Just like it's his will, when he endowed each of us with our abilities, it's his will insofar as utilizing these abilities and having situations. That's the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each person must accept it. You mustn't be a misgoa and say, hey, you know, I belong here, I'm superior. No, that's his will. You should be able to utilize it. If his will was otherwise, you'd be out there. You wouldn't be able to do it, you see? So that's what Chazal say. In terms of activity, every person, of course, should strive. Chazal do not say that a person should sit down and acquiesce and just do nothing. On the contrary, there's no such thing as an inferior life in Chazal. It can't be an inferior life. In our system, there is, because they have certain platitudes of success. But we don't have such a thing. So, what is a superior life? Living in accordance with your nature. That's the way. Reality means how God decided. What's the answer to Plato's Republic? Plato had this guy who was shoemaker and that guy this? No. Chazal say, that's worked out by his rough. That's it. Who will be in the Beis HaMedrash and who will not be in the Beis HaMedrash is dependent upon God's will. That's the difference between our system and between Plato's system. You have no right to go to somebody and say, you have less intellect, you go out and be a shoemaker. You have no right to do it. For him, it's just as beneficial for him to learn in the Beis HaMedrash and not to be able to perceive the Rabbeinu Tam as for you to learn and understand the Rabbeinu Tam. You have no right to say, dictate who goes where, who goes where. That's determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person, now when I say determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, I don't say it means you sit back and you wait for God to decide. A person has a certain plan of action which he has to follow. But the plan is a limited plan. You see, people don't want to recognize their shortcomings, their limitations. A person can plan from today till tomorrow, but certain things happen which put people in different situations. That's the Ratzon Hashem. And that's where the person has to yield, surrender to God's will and accept it. Be happy with it. Just like that great Tana who was happy to move wood from one place to another and chop wood. He's happy. On the contrary, he found things that are good about it. Look at the great, makes me warm, warms my body. That's a terrific thing. That's the real philosophy of life. That's the Magala. That's the Magala here in the Gemara. Beautiful Gemara. Why can't we have to accept that your schar in Olam Haba cannot be the same as the Rambam's? That's one. Why? Because that's where the Rambam is in Olam Haba is because it was God's will to create a Rambam. God's will was that there should be a Rambam. There should be such an individual who can perceive his chachma to such a great degree. And his place in Olam Haba is that he has a certain position there. You can't say you want to have that position.
Thank you.
That's right. Yes. Each person, you see, knowledge is something which each person has to deal with in accordance with his ability. Right? So therefore, there's never a point where a person says, that's it for me. What do you mean that's it for you? Every idea that you gain is of benefit to you. You can't say that's it. I was asked a good question. I'll present the question to you. Let me present the question to you, and you suggest the answer. He asked the question. He said, since we said that everybody has limitations, so a person should know his limitations, and he should stop learning. He reaches limitation, right? What's the answer? The answer is that when we say limitations, the word limitations over here is being used in two ways. He has a limitation in terms of how much knowledge he can perceive. That's true.
Quality.
Right. But he doesn't have a limitation on his activity. The activity of knowledge is unlimited for every individual. Insofar as he's concerned, he can keep on gaining knowledge just like the great genius. There's no limitation on his activity. There's limitation on the... When he had the kol, I don't know if he still has the kol, I think he still has. But in the time when I went to his kol, he had an unusual thing. Like in Slabotka, what they did was, in the kol there, they used to take only the biggest Talmidei Chacham. The elite. It was an elitist kol. Didn't reach a certain level?
Yeah.
But Moshe Feinstein disagreed with that. Because he held that every person has a right to learn Torah. A person doesn't have such a good mind. So what? He has just as much a right to learn Torah as that's right. And the kol, whoever going into the kol, being accepted in the kol, had nothing to do with how much knowledge you had. It had only to do with one thing, if you want to learn, that's all. And anyone that wanted to learn was able to sit in the kol. There a guy sitting in the kol, the guy wasn't so intelligent. So what, he sat there. Some people say, a lot of people criticize, say, I can understand the kol where you have guys that are sitting alone, you're a tremendous somebody at home, but just take anybody and sit down by Gemara. I mean, that's because they're going with their philosophy. So their philosophy is only those, right. But Yehadis doesn't hold that way. Yehadis holds that certain times, I'm not saying Slabotka was wrong. Don't get me wrong. And so certain times you have to make a decision. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to make a certain decision. But Rav Moshe didn't hold that. Rav Moshe holds that every person, no matter who he learns, for him this is learning, that's what he has to do. You see? Can't say he's smarter, he'll go into care of the other person's not smart. It worked, and he worked plain and push. His system was, whoever came first went in. The other ones, the waiting line. That's it. Guy could be tremendous chacham at the end of the line. That's it. Couldn't help it. That's what it was. That was a sheep. That's based on the Gemara. Yes.
Human knowledge is really inherently very limited and very small.
And a person who is a chacham, see, a person, the average person just pits himself against somebody else. That's all. That's his thing, you know. Am I better than him? That's always concerned with. We got a better mark on the test. Mm-hmm. But when a person goes into the area of knowledge and reaches the heights of human knowledge, he starts seeing that that's not really the important thing. It's better than the other guy. The question is, how much knowledge in terms of the knowable does he really have? And he says the more a person delves into knowledge, you start seeing how small the human mind is and how little it could really comprehend of reality. How vast reality is and how little it can comprehend. But he says it's true that the truth of the matter is that the limitations of human knowledge are very great. But the important thing is that a person should keep on studying. That's the important thing. That's the cloud. Every good lesson.
Oh, man.
The activity. That's the important thing.
Oh, boy.
I've always wondered how much we do.
Testing one.
The barrier is a derogatory term. I would say that barrier is not a derogatory term, but it does indicate it's not a term of dignity. So it's not a term of dignity. That I agree with. But the truth of the matter is that that's precisely what the Chazal are trying to show you. But the reality of man is barrier. Man doesn't look at it that way. That's why the term barrier seems to a person as being something maybe derogatory. But it's, right. But it means that's all I am. You see, it reduces an individual to a certain reality which is not in line with the psychological reality. Because the psychological reality is that he's not a barrier. The psychological reality is something more than that. But that's precisely what the Chazal is trying to show. That a person should only realize, no, his true position. True position is barrier. That's a true position. Okay. Any other? I just thought about it when I went home with the idea of the word barrier. There definitely is some significance in that word, in that choice of the word here. And it is a humble word. It's not a word. Barrier doesn't go with haughtiness. Okay. Yes. And if you take a look at the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam says Lahamin. Now that I mentioned already once before. The Sefer HaMitzvahs is not the Rambam's Hebrew. Sefer HaMitzvahs is the Hebrew of Ibn Tibbet, you see? And in you have to know what the word Lahamin means, really. The word Lahamin in the Torah means many times to prove, because it says, V'omnu divrechem ha'emes etchem. So you have over there, you have V'omnu divrechem, when the brothers with Yosef. So when Yosef held captive Shimon, so he said, well, in the end he kept Shimon. But first he said, "Shichu mikem echad v'yigachas chicha." Send one away, you know, to bring back your brother. He says, "V'yeomnu divrechem ha'emes etchem." The omnu means will be proven, will be verified. So really, the word lahamin, the root of the word lahamin is to verify. You have also v'yaminu bar Hashem of Moshe Avdei. If you look at the Evan Ezra, if I'm not mistaken, he says they knew. It wasn't just they didn't believe, it wasn't, but they knew. They saw. Vayamin v'Hashem. Lahamin means to verify, really. Amen means that it is so. Not I believe it's so, but amen. Yeah. So the word amen really comes to be used secondarily as belief. But the basic root of the word is to verify. So actually, when he used that word Shmuel ibn Tibbet, he didn't use it as meaning the way we use it, emuna, belief, blind belief. The proof of the fact is that there's a new translation out now of the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam by Kapach, and he goes back to the Rambam's original Arabic, and he retranslates, and he says over there, he says the word that is used in Arabic does not mean to believe, but it means to know. He has a footnote. So you see that when Ibn Tibbin used that translated word, you have to know Ibn Tibbin was like his Hebrew was like a little different than ours, more classical. You see, so a lot of the terms that we use have different connotations to us, whereas Tibbin has another connotation. But the proof of the fact is the original Arabic on the is not Muhammad. So there's no contradiction. The Rambam held Leda, that's the first mitzvah, to know. Mitzvah Sefer Araisa, to know. Not everybody can be the kind of that mitzvah. What degree of abstract thought to do what the Rambam means. What the Rambam means later means to know, to have knowledge. It means to really have true knowledge. It means to be able to follow a lot of abstract arguments. Which the Rambam himself says in the Mishnah,
are so abstract that very few people can do it. Rambam maintains. He says that you have to know, first of all, there's a lot of discipline. First of all, a person has to have control of his emotions. That's number one. Because the emotions can sway him in these areas. And Chazal seemed to say that's what happened to Acham. Chazal says, Tina Haya Bolivam. He had a little bit of dross there. Tina, like dross, you know, like impurity. So it seems to be there was some emotional, there's some emotion there, some unruly emotion that prevented him from seeing the bleak reality. Yeah, the truth. So it's a difficult area. It's number one, you have to have perfection of emotions. And secondly, you have to have, a person has to have perfection of his intellect. It's not so simple like people think, that a person, individual just gets up and decides to start thinking. And the thought has to be, is a process of pure, a person has to purify his process of thinking. Has to know how to think. What is thought? What's not thought? It's a perfection of the intellect. Rambam talks in the Minor Rukh many, many times about perfection of the intellect. It means that the faculty really should undergo a change. If a person just thinks the same way he did when he was a child or as a youngster, I don't mean the fact that it's inaccurately, I mean qualitatively differentiated. The intellect has to undergo a process where he sees his mind really is not thinking the way it used to. It's a totally different approach. The perfection of thinking requires certain discipline. The person has to undergo that discipline. And he has to have tremendous ability too. Like the Rambam wrote to his Talmud, he says, I was very happy, very pleased that you want to have all this knowledge. He says, but I doubted whether your mind could take it. He says, then I spoke with you in mathematics and in astronomy, and I saw that you were capable. He says, then I was happy to let you know, to give you the knowledge, little by little, as it presented itself. But it's something which definitely, I would say, that not everyone could follow the Rambam's proof in the beginning of the Yara Chazaka. Leidash yesh shamaleka. Interesting, this is a good question. I mean, if that's the case, it seems to be a mitzvah that is not for everybody. That's a question. It's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just okay. Before we start here, though, but just one thing I just want to mention. It could be, though, there's one of having knowledge. See, there's knowledge through secondary sources, there's secondary knowledge, and there's primary knowledge. The proof of Torah Misinai, or the base of Torah Misinai. Base of Torah Misinai, everybody can understand. You don't have to be an abstract theoretician to understand it. Any person with a normal intellect can understand it. Of course, Torah Misinai, you see, leaves a lot of things unanswered. It's only a beginning. But basically, he knows that there is a force which gave the superior force which gave the Torah. So it could be as follows. It could be that for instance, the animamins, the yigimli karam, right? Yigimli karam, really, if you look at the yigimli karam, they just plain statements. There's a tremendous amount of philosophy that underlies the yigimli karam, a tremendous amount of chachma there. Not just, wasn't just put together haphazardly. Every Jew reads it in the Siddur, animamins, very nice. But he doesn't really understand what's going on there and why the 13 and how they're broken up. It's a tremendous amount of thought. Now, how many people could follow that thought? How many people have real knowledge in that area? Very few. But nevertheless, it's incumbent upon everyone to know the Gimli Karam, the 13 basic principles. So what good does it do you if you don't really understand it? It's just a plan. Hashem Echad. How do you know he's one? It's not that simple to understand that he's one. But the point is, he doesn't know it through primary knowledge himself. But he knows it through secondary source, secondary knowledge. Secondary knowledge is also knowledge. In other words, just the knowledge of the fact through nevuah. You see, through nevuah is itself knowledge. That's also not, that's something which is not, which in the others is not frowned upon. It's also considered knowledge, provided he has a rational basis for his assumption. You see? So it could very well be that the first mitzvah is Leda Shiyesh Shom Eleka Nimtza. But what level I'm mekayim the mitzvah on depends upon my abilities. Plain person can mekayim the mitzvah through the nevuah, through secondary sources. As far as he sees, this is the way it is, and rationality dictates that this is what he should accept. And so he doesn't really understand why it is so. Like a person goes to a physician, and the physician tells him, well, this is a prescription you're supposed to take. So, so far as his knowledge is concerned, that's the right prescription. He has knowledge, you might say, in a way, he has knowledge of the prescription. He has knowledge of this, whatever is in here, will affect the cure upon his illness. You see? One second. So even though it's a secondary knowledge, his knowledge is based upon the fact that he knows that the doctor's intelligent. You see? So it's secondary, nevertheless, it's considered knowledge in the Hadras. And you see, it's considered knowledge to the extent that it makes the difference between a person who is an incomplete Jew and a person who is a complete Jew. Because the Rambam says in the end of the Ikarim, says anyone that doesn't accept the Ikarim, it lacks in Kedushas Yisrael. It lacks in the holiness, the completion of the holiness of a Jew. Because the Kedushas Yisrael is completed through knowledge, according to the Rambam. Through knowledge of the Ikarim, the Kedushas Yisrael becomes complete. It's the Kedushas Yisrael Merecha. Kedushas Yisrael is, you know, that he's born with. But there's another Kedushas Yisrael which a person acquires through knowledge. And it's incomplete unless he doesn't have that, unless he really has the knowledge of the Ikarim. Now, the knowledge he has of the Ikarim is really secondary. It's not primary knowledge. Just like Tarmi Sinai is secondary source. You see? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need Maimon HaSinai, Avraham Avinu didn't need Maimon HaSinai. But Klal Yisrael needed Maimon HaSinai. Why? Because they didn't have the ability to see it firsthand. Avraham Avinu was able to think of a derech and understand it himself with his own machshavah. But the average Jew couldn't do it. So he had to know through a secondary source. But that's also knowledge. That's also knowledge. So the mitzvah of Leda really could be fulfilled on different levels. It's not a mitzvah which is e-echshir. It's not a mitzvah which is e-echshir for everybody to fulfill. You can fulfill it, but there's a tremendous difference in the level of fulfillment. Of course, according to the Rambam, the whole essence of Torah is to reach the level where a person can fulfill that mitzvah from his own, to go from secondary knowledge to primary knowledge. That's the whole purpose. It's the highest level. They will fulfill that first mitzvah. Leda. This person striving, that's the constant striving to know God. Ram always mentions, I mean, that's the whole Yahadus, striving to know God. It's the essence of Yahadus. Everything we do is only a means for that thing, that one thing. Yeah.
What I meant before was the fact that if you're saying this is that.
Yes, this question is, a plain person, let's say you have a plain individual who is not a thinker, he acknowledges himself that he is not a thinker. So, he's a Jew, what? That's the highest level. We've never seen such a person. How does this individual know? He's born into a world of confusion. That's his question. You say he should follow Chazal, right? He'll say, he agreed, Chazal are very intelligent. I mean, if only man was very intelligent, he's not going to argue that. But the only problem is that he sees other intelligent people who argue against them. He sees Bertrand Russell, great physicist, Einstein, I mean, others, Marx, whoever. So he sees other people, Chachmi Masolam, that argue against them. Correct? So therefore, the question is, how is he expected to attain secondary knowledge? That's the question. How is he expected to attain secondary knowledge?
Especially since you see that in certain areas.
The fact that Chazal were faulty in regard to medicine is has nothing to do with this, basically, because we are faulty in regard to medicine today also. If somebody will look at Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuvas 200 years from now and see some of the shalos and tshuvas that brought down in regard to medicine, the particular cures, so they'll say that, hey, he didn't know medicine. That wasn't his field, you see? It's not his field. Point is that Chazal, in medicine, relied upon the knowledge of the times. And just like we do today, nobody could do any better job than that. It's impossible. You can't have medicine today from 200 years from now. It's impossible. But Chazal, and there were Chazal, I'm not saying that they didn't understand the medicine of the times, but whatever it was a science of the times. I mean, a person can only live according to the knowledge that is attainable in his generation. You can't expect anyone to be different. That's why it's the reason why it disturbs people that Chazal have medical statements that are inaccurate is because they want to attribute to Chazal a certain all-powerfulness which is beyond the scope of man and which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not intend to endow man with. That's why they're perturbed when they see that there's something wrong there. But there's a man, man's mind is fallible, including Chazal. The Gemara says that the Chazal had an argument with the Greek astronomers and they agreed that the Greeks were right. So you think something astronomy. But Chazal didn't maintain that they're infallible. The Rambam maintained that he's infallible. I mean, this is ridiculous. A human being is limited.
That's Adam. Adam is limited. The greatest man is limited in knowledge by his time and his place, his environment, his mind. I mean, there's limiting factors. No, we don't try to deify Chazal. I mean, Chazal were gedolim, chachamim mechukamim, but you can't say, but to make them infallible is absurd, especially in areas which wasn't a part of their. First of all, if you open up any Gemara, you see a Havmin in a Gemara, and the Gemara knocks it off a line later. You say, how's it possible? I made a mistake. I mean, we don't maintain. Nobody maintains. That's on the contrary. That's not a concept in Yahadis. Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. Moshe Slavchad told Moshe Rabbeinu that he was wrong, and they were right. No, nobody's infallible. Pinchas also. Nesalim men halacha. No human being is infallible. That's a mistake. It's an attempt to deify man. And people look for that because it's an emotional, a primitive emotion in man wants to see a perfect human being. The only one who's perfect is Ribbono Shel Olam. Man is limited in his knowledge. The only thing we say about Chazal is that they were chachamim. They were the highest level of chachamim that a human being can aspire to. In areas of astronomy and of physics and of medicine, areas which weren't developed at that time as they are today, Chazal were on the level of the Chacham of that door. They went by the Chacham of that door. That's the only way a rational person can go. The Rambam did the same thing, and we today, Reb Moshe does the same thing, and the Rav does the same thing. And you cannot be, if you're expecting to find a Chazal, some hidden secret over there that they knew medically that we don't know today, then you're on the wrong track. They're trying to maintain something which is not so. Chazal were people, human beings. They never claimed to be anything else. Chachamim, Chachmei Yisrael, the highest level of human beings. But in the realm of, it's still in the realm of the human, of the human, of the human. I mean, this is a big mistake. It's an attempt to deify people. We don't know from that. Yeah. A lot of things doctors are bringing out today will be shown wrong in 5 years from now. This is the only knowledge that was given at Sinai was not medical knowledge. Knowledge that was given to man at Sinai was only philosophical knowledge, because without that there's no purpose in existence. But medical knowledge was given over to man, God gave over to man to investigate and pursue, and as man keeps on going, he gains knowledge, so then he gains more knowledge in these areas. As he keeps on experimenting and investigating and living, he gains more knowledge. Sinai was not given any attempt to give a health code. I mean, you read with the Rambam says ani orev lai. What the Rambam means is the Rambam, he qualifies a statement, and the Rambam maintains, and this happens to be seems to be true, but the Rambam maintains that if a person basically if a person takes good basic care of his body, that he will not be ill. If the Rambam says if he exercises, he eats properly. And eats properly, the Rambam says, then he will not be ill unless he has some congenital illness. So he can predisposition towards illness. You see, that's true. What?
He didn't have to worry about
what? Yeah, he didn't have to worry about a lot of things. And the way the Rambam ate was different than the way you eat too. I mean, at that time, today, they've taken the foods and they've removed all the nutrition from many foods, and they give you an empty calorie. And if you exist on that, I mean, the Rambam didn't have that situation. The Rambam didn't expect that. But that's a basic principle in health. I mean, if a person takes care of his body, I mean, he doesn't have anything congenital, provided, of course, he's not stricken down by a plague. That's also a possibility. Could be you can inject the person with certain bacteria, he's going to die. I don't care how much exercise he does. But the Rambam meant under general conditions, which is true. That is true. I mean, that much knowledge they had at the time. That's a basic thing in medicine. A person takes good care of himself, and he doesn't destroy his body. He takes care of it. He exercises and eats properly. Then he will. He doesn't have any congenital illnesses. Of course, he will live to be a long time. But that's the only guarantee. The Rambam is that guarantee is not. It doesn't include everything. It's not all inclusive. It's not a mystical formula, a magical formula the Rambam gave. It's a formula. Yes, his question was, who to follow? That was the question, right? How do you know who to follow? It's a good question. So, and if you tell me you don't know who to follow, then the question is, how could God have any complaints to us that we do the wrong thing? If he has complaints, yes. What do you say? Sinai, what else do you want? All right. Torah Misinai, that's a basic idea that anybody can understand. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says a mitzvah to teach
One generation teaches the other, Torah Sinai. So therefore, in that area, he sees he has knowledge. So that area he has to follow, regardless of what the other Chachamim say. The other ones deny it, but they don't deny the Torah Sinai. They don't have the knowledge of that proof. They don't accept it. They don't accept what they didn't occur to them, so they don't accept it. But we know once the guy sees the argument and he sees it has to be so, so therefore he must accept it. So Torah Sinai has to accept. Okay. Tosh Ba'al Peh Mi'Sinai. Now the next question is, right? What?
Is that part of the
Torah Mi'Sinai? It has to be that way. Okay. Now the question is, it's another question though. But in Yahadis itself, you have a lot of arguments, right? In the Orthodox, because we're speaking about Torah Mi'Sinai, right? Okay, so get rid of the conservative reform. Now, but he's in the Orthodox circle now, right? Mm-hmm. All right? So he's out of the circle of the world. He's in the circle of Yahadis, and he's in the circle of Orthodoxy. But within that circle itself, we find that we have different approaches. Mm-hmm. You have the Lubavitch Rebbe, you have the Satmar Rebbe, you have the Taylor Rebbe, you have all these different Rebbes, right? On the one hand. You have the Rav, you have Rav Moshe, you have different approaches. Okay. Question is, which approach should the man follow? He's confused. He doesn't know. I mean, what should he do? What? We can operate. Shock is you have a modus operandi. You work with the.
It doesn't work anymore. How can you?
It doesn't work anymore. Suffolk deraisa is lachumra. Says the rabban is lakula.
Yeah, but the rabban.
What?
I'm sure like the.
Now, lacha, what you do is you have certain rules which decide, you know, what to do. Like we mentioned, as a machlekes, the rav and rav Moshe about opening the bottle caps on Shabbos. If you're allowed to, if you're not allowed to. So he asked me yesterday, so I told him, what you should do is open it b'derech shinui. Because if you open it the plain way, says machlekes, you might be involved in the deraisa. The person should do like this. The person should, wherever there are two philosophical views, so insofar as they are philosophical, he should maintain. He can't resolve them. He doesn't know. True. Insofar as they are halachic, he should just do what everybody agrees on doing, right? And what everybody agrees on doing. And if they have a dispute, he should follow the halachic way. That's it. Right? They all agree. They all accept the Shulchan Aruch. They all accept Shulchan Aruch? Well, not exactly. But, yeah. But most instances accept Shulchan Aruch. So you do what the Shulchan Aruch does. If you want to have a certain emotional experience, and one tells you have this emotional experience, the other one tells you they have the other emotional experience, they say, well, I don't know which one is correct, so I'll just do the halacha plain. That's it. They both agree on that, don't they? So that's it. Things that everybody agrees on, isn't there? Certain things everybody agrees when you're davening, when you're praying, you're talking to God. Okay, everybody agrees with that?
Okay, but then...
The question is what kind of experience it is. How do you look at it? How do you view it? I don't know. But this much, everybody agrees that you have to stand in the tefillah of Hashem. That idea, that plain idea everybody has. Shabbos, everybody agrees. Shabbos is... There's no such thing as a plain Shema Torah Mitzvahs or as a Chelek and Elam Abba. I mean, there's no such thing without any philosophical ramifications. A plain Shema Torah Mitzvahs. The guy just keeps the tie. That's not enough for you. Nobody doing, insofar as what you're doing, everybody agrees is correct. But the question is beyond that point. In other words, you come to a parashas drachim. You don't know to go this way. One says go this way. One says go that way. You say in that area, I can't make a decision. I'll have to stop here.
So
that's my limit. If there is a wrong trail, you are certainly farther away from your goal. If you're lost in the woods, you took the wrong trail. Than if you stayed before at the point where you still can make the decision to take the right trail, you're further away. You definitely are. And the further away you go in life, there's less chance of you ever coming back. So I would say stop right there before you make the decision.
Okay, what you're saying is lack of kavanah is better than having
a way. And the other one says this is the proper attitude. This is not for you. This is beyond beyond your ability right now.
There's a weakness in secondhand knowledge.
There's no secondary knowledge there.
You can't make a decision on secondhand knowledge.
There's many instances where secondary knowledge fails, where there is no secondary knowledge. Well, the logic fails also where there's no logic. So, you do the basic mitzvahs, and that's it. Philosophically, which attitude he should be when he's davening. So he doesn't know philosophically which attitude. He knows one thing, he's talking to God, that nobody seems to deny that, right? Okay, that's good enough for him. Let him enjoy standing there talking to God about his need. And that's it. It's a big thing, it's a very big thing, believe me. It'd be a tremendous thing. If everybody just mechavim with all these philosophies, guy just mechavim, pirush hamilas, it'd be very nice. Yeah. I get really looking at Chaim
does not mean that both are correct. It's an impossibility. If Reb Yehuda says Osir and Reb Meir says Mutter, it can't be they both correct. Because if Osir and Mutter can coexist simultaneously, you can take the whole Gemara and just rip it out. Because all the Gemara is conscious. How can you say this? Over there says the opposite. Oh, Elo Velo, that's all. That's kasha, that's kasha. Now I get the Gemara say over here, the halacha like this, but we find the Gemara for us the opposite. Elu ve'elu, that's it. Kara'oli, elu ve'elu does not mean that both are correct. It's impossible. The whole Gemara is based on the exact opposite premise. That logic is you cannot defy the laws of logic. If you can defy the laws of logic, you have no Gemara anymore. So you can't say two opposites coexist at the same time. The only thing the Gemara means by Elu ve'elu is that they're both a Chefetz shel Torah. Because a possibility is a part of Torah also. Since both possibilities exist, you see, in terms of a Havamina, if a person learns a Havamina of Gemara, is he learning Torah? The Gemara knocks it off the next line. Is he learning Torah? Yes. Why? Because a Havamina is not a Shtus. A Havamina is a possible Svara. It's an insight into the area. It might be incorrect. You might have to retract it. But the idea, the concept, is a part of the corpus of knowledge of that area. If you didn't hit that concept, then you're missing something in the area. If you didn't think of that Havamina when you learned through the when you went through the area, then you're missing something. Your thought processes are not correct. So it's a part of Torah. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is both a part of Torah, regardless of how we paskin, regardless of who ultimately is correct. Doesn't make any difference. The ideas are valid ideas on the subject matter. There's such a thing as invalid ideas on the subject matter, and such a thing as valid ideas. Even though it might prove to be that one of them in the long run doesn't work out, but it's a valid idea insofar as knowledge is concerned of the area. See? That's what it means, Eilu Ve'elu. Doesn't mean that they're both correct. There's only one way. Either Moshe Rabbeinu got the halachas, and Moshe Rabbeinu got the halacha, he knew who was right, Beisham Beisul. God taught him the Torah, and he understood it, and he knew it was correct. He didn't get two. This way put tefillin on, this way put it's impossible. So the thing is, but in the ideas of tefillin, everything we find in Chazal is a part of the corpus of knowledge of tefillin. If you didn't think it happened to me, that means you're missing an idea. But that's not necessarily true with regard to everything and everyone. Because an idea, if a person does not have proper method, and he sits down and learns a Gemara, and he asks a lot of nonsensical questions, while he might get tzchar for Talmud Torah, what he's saying is not elu ve'elu. What he's saying is foolish. You know, it's foolish. It's not a part of Torah. It has to be a valid idea. Elu ve'elu means it's a valid idea. The riff, he praises the riff as being so perfected that he made at most 10 mistakes. That was the most possible. Lo yagir eser, he says, we'll never reach 10. Less than 10 mistakes, he said. So Chaim Esther Kasha, the Rav said, Chaim Esther Kasha, how is it possible? He argues on him in more than 10 cases, the Rambam. What do you mean, never make a... So apparently made more than 10 mistakes. No, that's not what the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant, a mistake means it's completely erroneous. It's nothing to consider. So is that the riff made very few mistakes? He said, but in argumentation, the Rambam recognized the Rif had a different position. True, I mean, he disagrees with him, but he doesn't maintain it's an error. It's not a mistake. That's the difference. Valid, it's a valid idea, but I disagree with the idea. But the idea is valid in terms of the knowledge of this area. It must be considered in the area. If you don't consider the idea, then you don't even know how to approach the area. But mistakes completely out. The idea is that even the greatest Gadol HaDor, if you find that he has leanings, emotional leanings, towards a certain position, he says, do not accept what he says. Even in regard to the facts that he quotes. Unbelievable. As the Rambam says. Even a Gadol HaDor, he says. Speaking about a Gadol HaDor in his time. He says that if a person knows that this Gadol has certain emotional leanings towards a certain conclusion, he knows. The way to know. No. But he says that then you should not follow this Gadol. You should not follow this Gadol in his conclusions in that area, and even you should even be suspicious of the facts that he quotes to support his view. So it is. Gadol is only in psak. It's not in ideas. That's what so. It's only the Ramban says. Afilu heiman v'chol yamin she small val small she yamin. It means lahalacha. It doesn't mean in reality that you have to believe your left hand is your right hand. That's absurd. Once you do that, you don't have anything anymore. You don't even know the business there. So it's impossible. So the only thing is the only thing that the Chazal mean is insofar as halacha is concerned. Which hand do you put on the phone? This one. That's it. If I put on this one, this is my left hand I put on it. But in knowledge I know that it's a mistake. You see? So Bezdin can't paskin on Bezdin can't paskin on philosophical concepts. Only on Allah. Bezdin cannot remove yisfakus. Bezdin can only tell you how to go, what to do in action. But they can't remove yisfakus. No Bezdin can remove yisfakus. That's the intellect of yisfakus you can't remove. That's why the Rambam says no psak in regard to philosophy. Can't be. Even like I was like this. See, the Halacha of Cherem is really like it. The Halacha of Cherem is really a good example of where philosophy is involved with becomes tied in with psak in a way. Because the thing is like this, that if we see in regard to what the ultimate good is in a society, once a person maintains that there is a good, he must also maintain that the best situation is when others partake of that good. I mean, it's a natural thing. Like a parent can't say that, I'll let my child grow up and decide what good is. I mean, unless they have no idea themselves, you see? But if they once they have an idea as to what good is, then it would be absurd for them to say, I'm going to let my child do evil. That would be an absurdity. So once an individual maintains that he knows what the good is, he has to act a certain way in accordance with that knowledge. You see? Therefore, in a society, there cannot be any freedom in regard to the thought about what the good is if the society maintains that it knows what the good is. It has to be that way. In other words, once society maintains that this is the good, it can't allow any freedom in regard to that area. Unless it maintains it doesn't know. But if it maintains it knows, then it must benefit others. It must act in accordance with that good. Now, if there's free thought in the area of what that ultimate good is, and that free thought is destructive in terms of how they perceive the good, then they have to remove that free thought. See, freedom per se is not... we don't worship freedom. What we worship is the good. And freedom is something which is beneficial in terms of reaching the good. But once that freedom is itself something which is detrimental to the good, so you have to remove it. Right. That's why you can't have, for instance, let's say our society was really run properly. Right? Run properly. The way it should be is in base of Mikdash, or is Shaftim, everything perfect. Now let's say, for instance, you had a man who was preaching preaching atheism. Going around teaching atheism. And say that the man might be a fine individual, not that he's doing it purposefully, but he really thinks this is the good. He's a sincere person. He thinks this is really the good. But his good is in conflict with your good, right? Now, according to your good, you can only act according to what you think the good is. Now, since you maintain that this is the good, you must maintain that what he's doing is evil. And you have to act in accordance to what you think the good is. So therefore, you must excommunicate him. You must remove him from the society because he's doing evil. Now, the only thing you're doing is you are acting just as you must always act once you maintain what the good is. You must act that way. You see? Right. It's a natural result. It has to be that way. That's the idea of cherem. That's basically the idea of cherem. There's no other possibility. Unless you maintain you don't know what the good is. Yes. Chazal really had this Spinoza. You mean Acher? Acher really was the Spinoza of the Talmud. That's what he was. He was an individual who believed in the Aristotelian concept of God. He didn't believe in Ashgacha. And he denied Ashgacha. That was basically his argument. But he was never put in Cherem. Because obviously, because Reb Meir used to learn with him. Yeah. So you see, he wasn't put in Cherem. Because, on the contrary, you see from that, Lahavdil, the Goyim, when they had anyone that said anything, a little thing, boom, right away the man was destroyed, like with a vindictiveness. And Yadus, Chazal on the contrary, the Mespal Facher. Yeah. After his Mitzvah Gemara, so the Mespal that he should go to Gan Eden, Shevchem Al Abba. So Chazal felt sorry for him. There was no vindictiveness because he said something against them. They weren't threatened by his opinions. They didn't threaten them. See? But the only thing is that if he would have set himself up in a way that he would have been harmful to society, then naturally they would have had to put him in Cherem. But he didn't. Acher went his way. And he only learned to tell the Rameh. So... They didn't excommunicate. They didn't put him with Aaron. It was false. Not sure. It's a chaver. They consider him a friend. A chaver. There's where you see the difference between Yahadis and Lahavdil. The other. The reason is very simple. Because Chachmei Yisrael didn't feel threatened by somebody's opinion. They were secure in their opinion about the Yahadis. And somebody who deviated, they knew was something unfortunate was wrong with him, you know, and he didn't make it. But in the other way, where you're not secure about your opinion, and where you feel threatened by any contrary opinion, where you're trying to enforce enforce your position just through power, because you yourself don't know where that's correct. So the only security you have is if everybody follows it, then you can feel that it must be correct. But in yourself, you have no knowledge of it. Then, of course, any contrary opinion is a threat, and you have to put it down. You have to destroy it.
Why?
Greater genius is explaining that, first of all, it is not a given law. It is not a law that it has to be that way. I think I mentioned this a few times. The Meitz De'ilu was a Talmud of Reb Chaim. It's a big guddle. He said, I think I mentioned this several times. There's no reason. Rashbam, you had Bali Tesis, you had so many, all the intellects, the Raivad, you had all the intellects went into Torah. So the greatest minds in Klal Yisrael, all those minds that are in physics in the last century, that made the atom bomb, all the Jewish brains, they were involved in only one area. They were involved in Torah. That was it. But today, you know where the good minds go? They don't go to the Blat Gemara. They go to the sciences. That's the way it is. They're great men in science. We've lost the greatest intellects to science. But that wasn't the way it was in the time of Rabbein Tam.
How do we get them back?
How do we get them back?
Get them to come here on Sunday?
Valuable time there. But they could be applying their mind to a more important area. And you have to convince them. It's not easy.
But
that's right. Of course. That's right. They don't know. The Jews, if you want to just put it in equality, the Jews have pretty good minds, because the world goes, right? Now just imagine all those minds going into this area. And you'll see very quickly that you're not speaking about people that were morons. And very simple method. You know what I mean? Without any, forget about Emunas Chachamim that they were very, just plain and simple. You'd show that what our Beit HaTam was. Maybe this person doesn't even know what he is.